Welcome and thank you for joining us. At Worship Harvest, we believe that we are a movement of the gospel, discipleship, and mission. And we are committed to catalyzing spiritual, social, and economic renewal in our immediate communities. And as a result, the world. Here is this week's teaching.
You're very, very welcome to this segment of Business Garage. Welcome everybody in the studio. And at all our 85 locations globally and locally here in Uganda, especially to our BLN chapters, the local chapters, and you're all very welcome this morning as I host Pastor Noah Balinsambu from Crypto Savannah, where we'll be talking about building a discipling culture within our organizations. You're very welcome, Noah.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
And as you know the culture here at Business Garage, please send your greetings.
First and foremost, I would like to send greetings to my wife, Rachel, yay! Pastor.
Wow.
Yes, Pastor B7, RB7, as Apostle calls her, and the whole crew at Worship Harvest Chitukutwe. That's where I serve in ministry. Then I also want to send greetings to the family at Savannah, to all the people that hold fort at Savannah, to the different CEOs. I send specific greetings. They would not allow me in office if I didn't. So, we'll dig into that story. But those are the people I send greetings to.
Fantastic. And before we go further, first of all, we want to welcome back Apmo and Revma,
woo-hoo!
Who are with us this weekend. And we look forward to seeing them and to hearing more about everything they've been up to from Garage and we got a sneak peek of it in Leaders Camp Night. Who was at Leaders Camp Night?
Hey.
There you go. In fact, we heard about how the people from Chitukutwe ended up at Leaders Camp Night. We also send greetings to our very own business pastor, Pastor Chris Kawesa,
woo-hoo!
Who currently is in Masaka,
and
Chibinge, I believe, with them as they put together a church plant and encourage the brethren there. So we send you our love and our greetings, and then the online army, and we're looking forward to the engagement. Last week we had a lot from Dr. Emily Bagarukayo. I don't know if she's going to do it again. Daniel Chaudhry. We have Elder Kamara, who is. And so we look forward to the online engagement. Keep your comments and questions coming. And yes, let's get right into it.
Great.
So now it's in the name Crypto Savannah, but before we go
into
what you do,
mm-hmm.
this whole crypto world, crypto, Bitcoin and everything. First, define that for us.
So, how long do we have?
we'll manage.
We'll manage. So, going down that crypto route is a rabbit hole, so I will try and avoid it as much as possible. But to just get the definitions out of the way, what is crypto? And I'm sure many people ask themselves this every day.
Mm-hmm.
But crypto or digital currencies are a new peer-to-peer way of exchanging value without an intermediary infrastructure that can fail.
That's
a big one.
Yeah.
Okay. So our current banking systems
yes.
rely on banks. But if anything that has happened in the last 2 weeks is anything to go with, they can fail. Our monetary system depends on countries or governments.
Mm.
And again, we have seen governments fail. And so how do we... what new ways can we exchange value that is not dependent or hinged on institutions or mechanisms that can fail? And so, about 12, 13 years ago, a white paper was put online theorizing a digital way of transferring value. Then a group of people came together and built it, and that was the first crypto network, which is Bitcoin,
okay.
that has still been running to this day. And so, yeah, just in a nutshell, that's what crypto is, without getting too political or emotional.
Yes.
That's what crypto is. The details you can See me later.
Yes, we will. We will. And there are supposed to be about five elements to this crypto thing. There's Bitcoin, there's crypto, there's artificial intelligence.
So,
what's that world?
So, again, there is... crypto is hinged on a technology called blockchain, which is a new way in which data is stored online.
Okay.
We are used to the servers. I'm sure every of you has heard of a server somewhere. And a server architecture means that you have a device that accesses information that's in a particular server. So your email, for example, works that you have your device, you access the email, which is hosted on the Google servers, etc. But then blockchain is a new innovation that doesn't store information that way. And so one of its first applications is cryptocurrencies. But then there are many other things that blockchain can do. Identity, traceability, and we'll dig into those because my business deals with that. But then blockchain is just one of many other technologies that are revolutionizing the way we deal with information and with each other. And so collectively, these are known as the fourth industrial revolution, or 4IR. And so amongst that, there is 5G, very high-speed internet on your device. There is AI. I'm sure you've heard of ChatGPT and the kavuyo that it's causing right now.
The studio audience is nodding.
Even Kamara is nodding very hard. When Kamara nods, I'm doing well.
Yeah.
So there are a bunch of technologies that have come up in the last decade that are revolutionizing the way we deal with information. The same way the internet revolutionized the way we consume information. Before the internet, I'm sure many people cannot relate with how information was moved. We used to write letters.
We miss the letters, and
it would take months. So imagine your status update going in a letter.
Right.
Okay. And then came the internet, and it blew up. Social media now, everything is instant. Information is at your fingertips, literally. And so the same way the internet changed society is the same way these technologies are going to change society. So we have, and actually the last maybe 2 months with ChatGPT, that is a very telling sign of what these technologies are capable of. And you know, there's the ChatGPT AI passed the bar in the UK. It passed the medical exams, and you can have a conversation with a robot. And so that is just one of the technologies, just AI. So there's blockchain, there's 5G, there's AR and VR, virtual reality. The other day I was looking at a church that hosts its services in virtual reality. So the same way we stream to YouTube, they stream to VR. So there's some YouTube channels that you can put on VR goggles, and you are seated in the congregation. You can look at your neighbor when the preacher says, look at your neighbor.
And tell them you saw that. Wow.
Yeah, it is happening. And church is already there. And that's where, when you hear of the metaverse, that's where technology is going. And the church shouldn't be left behind. So that's just a sneak peek into the fourth industrial revolution.
A very interesting one. And thank you for bringing us out of the dark ages. So what is Crypto Savannah's story in relation to what you've said? How old are you? What do you use this whole Bitcoin crypto world? How does it relate? Crypto Savannah's story.
So the Crypto Savannah story officially starts in 2018, but unofficially starts much longer than before that. And so I first got interested in my background. Technically, is I'm a telecom engineer. I did telecommunication engineering in Makere. Then I worked for the telcos, and then I started a cybersecurity firm in 2004. And so I've been into cybersecurity a lot. And because I was in that industry, I came to hear about Bitcoin in the early days, very early days, back in 2012. And it was interesting. Online there was a lot of buzz, not in public, but in the circles of the cryptographers and all those people. It was making a lot of buzz. But 2012 was interestingly at the crash of a thing called Forex trading.
Mm-hmm.
Kamara is nodding very hard.
Yes.
Yeah, so at that time I was not ready to invest in anything online at all. So it was interesting, tinkered with it a bit, but nothing major. But then a few years later, I was traveling from a certain country and I was at the airport, and I saw two magazines at the newsstand. And one was
media could share that image.
Yes, there that's actually the picture I took.
Yeah.
And on one hand, there is Forbes magazine, and on it has Bitcoin, the future.
Wow.
And this is 2015.
Wow.
And then another one is Fortune magazine, and the headline is Blockchain Mania. And at this point is when I had my Kairos moment. And we'll talk about the circle of learning.
Indeed.
And this was my Kairos moment. And I immediately, I took this, I sent this to my now business partners. I says, you guys, we must catch this wave early. And so from then, we started building an exchange, which is like a Forex bureau, a digital Forex bureau that people can exchange crypto into Uganda shillings and fiat and vice versa, which we launched in 2016. That was the first business that we started. It was called Binusu. It's still running to this day, binusu.com. But that was the first business theoretic that we started in, and we continued on. And again, it raised a lot of awareness. It's like people are like, what is this thing? What is this blockchain thing? And so, in 2018, together in partnership with the Ministry of ICT, Ministry of Finance, we hosted the Africa Blockchain Conference, which was the largest such conference on the continent. We hosted two heads of state and about 3,000 delegates from over 33 countries.
2 years into being incorporated, you
were... Yes, we hosted, yeah. And the idea there was that people, our heart was to make sure that Africa is not left behind again in yet another industrial revolution. Because the first one...
Are we with everybody right now?
Yes, I mean, everyone is at the starting line.
Okay.
And so it's just about being alert and to run when that...
So we're at the starting line.
We are everyone with the rest of the world.
We're not in the changing room.
not the third industrial revolution, which is the internet, we were left behind. While all these companies were starting, you know, the Facebook, not even Facebook, the Amazon, Google, you know, they looked like... And, you know, crazy kids shouting. If you look at those early videos of Jeff Bezos talking about how people would buy things online in the 90s, the reporters were laughing at him. It's like, who wants to buy a book online?
Mm.
Why would we buy books online? Okay? And who's laughing now?
Indeed.
And so we were left behind in that third industrial revolution as Africa. But we are determined that we'll play our own small role to make sure that Africa is not left behind in this one. So getting the government to talk about it, getting private sector to talk about it, getting individuals, young people to talk about it, that was the heart behind the Africa Blockchain Conference. And so we hosted it in 2018. Now, that, again, if you remember, that's when Crypto Savannah, the business, was registered.
Mm-hmm.
Why? It's an interesting story because we hosted one of the most popular people in crypto. He's called CZ. And in a meeting with him, he wanted to tweet. Now he has millions of followers, and we needed a name to call us because Binusu was hard for him to pronounce. The legal company name was called Bitreco. Long story, and so he was like, "But you guys, it was at 11:30 on a certain day, PM," and he's like, "So my business partner, our chairman, said, what about you know? There's a Silicon Valley, and then there's a Silicon Savannah in Kenya." What if we were the Crypto Savannah? And so like, hey, that sounds cool. So he tweeted it.
So Crypto Savannah, and the name was born at 11:30 PM.
And we got about 2,000 followers in 30 minutes.
From him tweeting?
Yeah, so it started as a tweet, as a Twitter handle. The Twitter handle is older than the company. So so we created the Twitter handle, he tweeted it, and that was how Crypto Savannah was born. We registered the business and started building solutions on blockchain.
Lovely.
To this day.
And if you're tuned in just now, we are going to talk about, or we are talking about, discipling in business. How it is a means of scaling. Businesses need to scale, but how? And we're going by the theme that we are on at Worship Harvest this month of discipling being the dominant strategy. That is what I'm going to get into with Pastor Noah. You make it look all easy. 5 years, 2018, started as
walking
a tweet,
the park, really.
You know. You know, 2000, 5 years later, here you are from a project to now, I think, five CEOs. It's easy, isn't it?
You see, people ask, it's like, you guys, you have it all figured out, and there's a meme I came across some time ago
media team.
Of a man riding a lion. it's actually there that's showing right now. And when you look at it, the people are looking at him and it's like, wow, look at this brave guy. He's riding a lion. Wow,
he
must be
like
made of
us.
some stuff.
Steel.
You know? Yeah. And then you get a glimpse into his thoughts. And he's like, how on earth did I get on this animal? I pray it doesn't see me because it will eat me. And so that is the classic story of an entrepreneur. Because you're in the grind, you're there fighting, you don't know that you are riding a lion. And so people think that it's you're all this stuff, but even you, you're like, what? How did I get here? And so to me, when I look back, that's how I feel. It's like, it's been tough. Mm. You know, all the emotions and confusion around crypto. Imagine now building a business on that, where a government can wake up one day and ban your business.
Indeed.
And it has happened. So they just say, you're not allowed to transact with mobile money. And
indeed,
90% of your business disappears,
yeah,
overnight. And so it's been a very interesting journey. And but I believe it's worth it. There's a time Apostle said, if what you're doing is not worth giving your all, it's not worth your time.
Go home.
I mean, do something that you're willing to go all out. Or just
are you doing
relax.
Something that you're ready to go all out for?
Yeah, as in change the world, you know.
Do something significant with your life.
Leave your mark.
Yeah.
And so that has been, fortunately, the story of Crypto Savannah, that we have had, we've taken the bull by the horns and said, look, we're going to make sure that if anything is said of us is that we tried and we gave it our all. And so, yeah, we're riding this lion, as afraid as can be.
But I think you've mastered it. Because 5 years later, you've moved from two projects to now five companies with five CEOs.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yes.
And discipling has been a major tool that has worked for you on this journey.
Yes.
So, again, I keep referencing this book from last week, and I'll reference it today, Building a Discipling Culture by Mike Brin. It's available here at Worship Harvest if you need a copy. It goes for 25,000 shillings. And that is what we are going to be discussing this morning. There are quite a number of methods or tools out of this book, but specifically we're going to be talking about three that you have deployed successfully at Crypto Savannah.
Yeah.
And over to you. How we started, or you want to start with a circle. There are different shapes, but I'll leave you to expound on them and how you've applied them.
Yeah, so there are different shapes. There's a circle, the semicircle, the triangle, the square. We'll focus maybe on the circle, the triangle, and maybe the square as we build a disciple. You talked about starting as a project. So remember in the history of Crypto Savannah, we started by just doing this one thing, you know, building a platform that converts, you know, Bitcoin or crypto into Uganda shillings and vice versa. Now, we built that, and it was a project under eventually Crypto Savannah. So that's the thing that we were doing together with a conference, but the conference was not a business. And so we then realized that this thing called blockchain has many other use cases apart from just crypto. And so we start talking to different people, different organizations. And then one organization, UCC, approaches us and says, look, this is our challenge. Can your blockchain thing solve it? And we're like, yeah, sure. And so we go down this journey with the Uganda Communications Commission to build for them a platform on a blockchain that is able to solve, some SIM card related issues that they had. And it over-delivered, actually. It was supposed to be a pilot project, and it over-delivered. And actually, as we speak right now, every SIM card in Uganda is secured by that blockchain layer right now in UCC.
But wow.
Yeah. It's actually one of the first commercial deployments of a blockchain globally.
Wow.
Commercially in the telecommunications sector. So we are leading.
You're right there.
As a country.
I think you're more than the starting line. I think you're going. Yeah.
Yeah. You take them kicking and screaming. So it was a project. But the thing is, the more we engaged with different people, the more we engaged with different customers, the more we realized that this same technology is versatile to solve problems in supply chain, to solve problems in identity, solve problems in real estate. And so we started applying this technology to these different use cases. And we'd have a customer who says, this is my challenge, and you solve it for them. So we had a number of projects. So Crypto Savannah grew from doing this one thing to starting doing different projects with different organizations. Mm-hmm. And then as time goes, the projects, then you discover that what you do for organization X, there is an entire sector that has the same problem. Mm. And so what was started off as a project ended up being a product, because you have many more customers who have the same pain point. From the value we are creating. So it started as a project, becomes a product. Now, because the product is now scaling, it is no longer a project. You're no longer working with a project team. You're working with a product team.
Wow.
And the product team is different. These are people who have to now start thinking about the customer care. They have to think about the customer experience, improving the product, and all that. So you then realize that you're running a business within a business. And so we got that wisdom early in I think it was School of Practical Business when I did it. And then we're like, if you run a business within a business, eventually you're positioning it to grow and scale. And so that's how we ended up from starting from projects to products to now, which are fully fledged businesses that have been
five standalone businesses
that have been birthed out of Crypto Savannah.
And I think you have in advisory, you have in real estate, you have in agriculture, you have payments and remittances and digital IDs and KYC.
So what Crypto Savannah is now is a digital identity and KYC business. And our anchor, one of our customers is UCC and many others, URA and all those that are coming online.
And such and such.
And such and such. Then we have Binusu, our oldest business that is also a standalone. Now it has diversified from just exchange to now payments, because you find that another thing that crypto does well is move value very cost effectively across borders. So we're doing our remittance. It does remittances. It does payments as well. So that's our financial business. Then we have agriculture, Walimi.com. That one is now, we do agriculture traceability as a marketplace for both customers, B2C, and businesses, B2B. So we serve hotels, we serve schools, we serve large organizations, and they order online and it's delivered. The unique value proposition we bring is that the produce that you sow, that is bought on our platform, is traceable to the farm. So if you buy poultry products, right to the farm, it's traceability. And many of the organizations, our vision there is to supply the export market, the airline industry, the oil and gas industry. And all of these are sensitive to where the food comes from.
As you can imagine, I'm very biased about given what I do for a day job.
Yes. And so these are industries that are very sensitive to the source of food. And so they need a very sure, trusted way to guarantee where the food is coming from, and we give them that platform. Then we'd also have a real estate business. Another thing that a blockchain can do very well is trace ownership, fractional ownership. And so you can find like a mall, and you have 200,000 investors in that mall, and each person is able to trace their portion of ownership to that particular. So it opens up real estate to retail investment, which has never happened before. Because if you want to invest in real estate, you either group in something like HMC, or you go for a loan. And so an individual with 1 million shillings is hard-pressed to find how to invest in real estate. And so we unlock that opportunity for them by being able to invest in fractional ownership of real estate. So those are some of the businesses that we have launched out. Then there's advisory, because many people don't know about digitization. Their businesses are suffering in manual processes. And so we walk businesses down the journey of digital transformation by showing them the tools that they can use, the strategies and the mindsets that they can have to keep them relevant in the future. As you know, when COVID hit, it's only the organizations that were digitally savvy that survived. The ones that were hinged on manual processes, paper-based processes, are the ones that suffered, and some completely died off. And so to be able to not future-proof, but to make you future-ready, so that when these technologies are coming, and they are coming, like how ChatGPT is going to disrupt many businesses now, is your business ready? Are you using it as a tool, or are you fighting it? And so we walk down that journey as an advisory firm. So that's yet another business.
So no doubt that this business has scaled. And definitely discipleship has been a tool that you have deployed. So let's learn more about how we deploy discipleship as a means of scaling, the how-to and how it worked in the Crypto Savannah story.
Yes. So there's director Grace mentioned something last time and says the discipleship is the only way to scale culture. Because culture eats strategy for breakfast. You might have the best strategy as a business, but if you don't have a culture that enforces that strategy, you're going to die in chaos. And so the easiest way to scale culture that it goes down is through discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as you can imagine, we started our business, but now you need, at some point, you need to have 5-6 CEOs who have the same DNA as you to be able to take the businesses to the next level.
Exactly.
And so, right from very early, we were very intentional about discipleship. And one of the counterintuitive things that we have done is following hard.
Yes.
It's counterintuitive in business because you're going to go for an MBA or you know, an executive leadership course from some interesting university. Then they'll give you tools which you come, and that's too expensive. Just simply do what Jesus did.
Yes.
And so what we did is literally did what we do in Worship Harvest. I just plugged and played and put it in the organization.
You started with a circle?
I started a discipleship group, or quote-unquote MC. And the things I do, because the good thing is also that I'm also a leader at Worship Harvest. So,
yes.
There's the WhatsApp pastoring. Eh? So you have your WhatsApp groups for Worship Harvest, and you have your business WhatsApp groups.
Yes.
And they have the same content.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So if there's up more challenge here, there's up more challenge at work, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But it works. I have results. So,
monkey see, monkey do in all your spaces.
Just following hard. And the principle is this. Again, if you think about the triangle, if we can start there as a shape. It starts, there's up, in, out. Mm-hmm. We're familiar with up, in, out.
Yes.
And so how do you apply that into a business? And Papa Mike gave us a very interesting way to look at the triangle in form of business, where up, which is your relationship with God, is also vision. So for a business, that is vision. The Bible says in Habakkuk, I think it is Habakkuk
2.
Habakkuk 2, yes, 2. And it says, the Lord answered and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. That's Habakkuk 2:2.
Mm.
So the thing is, you without a vision, your business is dead. You're flying blind. And so it is important that you must first have a vision. And vision comes from God. The same way Jesus spent time in prayer with God and then came down and called his disciples. The same thing, a business leader must get a vision. If you don't have a vision, you are just a time bomb waiting to go off. And so vision is important. As a tool.
Yes.
Because you're not going to, what are you going to give? And the vision must be big. The verse 3 in Habakkuk 2:3 that says that he who reads it might run with it.
Yes.
So can your vision inspire passion? If I read your vision, would I want to run with it?
Wow.
Because that's what it says. That it, make it plain. First of all, it must be simple.
Mm-hmm.
If it is a whole paragraph, then no one can run with it. It's not simple.
Yes.
But if it is something that you can read and just want to run with it.
Click it, be inspired by it, and want to run with it.
There's a classic conversation between Steve Jobs and the then CEO of Pepsi. And Steve Jobs knew that this guy was good at his work. And so he came to him and was like, do you want to keep selling sugar water or do you want to come and change the world?
Fantastic.
Needless to say, his decision was made.
Yeah.
He chose wisely. So how do you inspire vision that way? That if someone just hears your vision, they're like, I want to... You know, Apostle one time shared is like, your vision must be so compelling that people are willing to work for free.
Wow.
Yeah. And so for us, that's what we believe. At Savannah, we believe that
they're working for free.
They're not working for free. They are not. But the thing about it is that we believe that our purpose is to see 1 billion Africans gainfully engaged in the digital economy. Not just consumers.
1 billion Africans gainfully engaged in the digital economy.
So creating value and consuming value.
Camera is nodding.
He's nodding. He's my monitor. So anyway, so we were intentional about discipleship.
So we've done up.
Up.
Now we're in. Everybody, we are on the first shape, which is the triangle. Up, in, out.
Up, in, out.
We've dealt with up, which is the vision. Now we're going to in. And in the business context, in is?
Team.
Wow.
So you have up, in, out. So you have vision in your team.
Team.
So now that team is important. You must have people that you're imparting to. Again, if you go, the classic example here we have, again, going back to Jesus, we have, apart from the scripture in Luke chapter 6, we have very many other scriptures, but I want to focus on Matthew 4, when Jesus comes out of the wilderness.
Mm.
So if you look at his story, God appears to him and says, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased," and then the Holy Spirit leads him to the wilderness.
Mm.
And there he encounters God, the temptations, and now from the wilderness, his ministry is starting. What's the first thing he does? He gathers disciples.
Mm-hmm.
After it backfired a bit, because he went back home, and they didn't click him. And it's like, I need to. Anyway, and then he goes, finds Peter, and as shared earlier, gives them the deal of their lives.
Yes.
And then they start following him. "Come and I make you fishers of men." Jim Collins makes a very interesting statement. It's first who,
mm-hmm.
then what. Get mm-hmm. the right people
on the bus.
Get the right people on the bus. And, so
and the wrong ones off.
And the wrong ones off, yeah. Please.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the wrong ones
the
off.
The courage to have them off.
Yes. Yeah. And so what the most important thing that a business leader can do is build a team. Build a
After
team.
The vision, After the next the vision, one thing, is next building is
build a, team.
A formidable team.
Yes. And after building the team, and there's a shape we'll talk about there in terms of building the team,
yes.
You then go out, which is your market or task.
Task or market?
Yes.
Okay.
So you up is your vision, in is your
team.
And now out
the team
is
has
the
a task or a market to
yes.
face
yes.
and to convert.
And then there are certain interesting lines there that I wanted to share as a process of getting the different... So between... up and in,
mm-hmm.
between the vision
yes.
and the team,
yes.
what do you transmit? And that's
passion.
Passion. You burn white hot until your team is burning white hot. That's wow. what you impart. Then between the team and the market, that's where you get your strategy.
That's where you're planning.
That's where you're planning, seeing who is you're deploying where, whose strength is here. And so that's where your strategy comes in, planning. And then between the relationship between a market, the response of the market to the vision is profit.
Wow. So we have passion.
Passion.
Which leads to planning.
Planning.
And which planning results
in
profit. So the whole triangle is
completed. Triangle is
complete. From the vision,
yes.
team, market, up, in, out.
Yes.
Okay. Passion, planning, profit. Online team led by Director Grace. I can see the engagements coming through. I can see Didan Murachi, JP Kadima, Odiambo Dickens. Thank you all very much. Alfred Agaba, thank you very much. Very interesting comments. Please let's have questions if there are any, and we'll be taking those through. Dr. Emily Bagarukayo, thank you as always. Thank you very much. The online team is burning up. They're deriving quite a number of quotable quotes from you, and indeed, thank you very much. So let's carry on.
Sure.
The next shape. So are we moving to the next shape?
So maybe we can zoom in on the in, on the team.
Yes.
How do you build a team?
How do you build a team?
Yes. And it's the principle here is seed time and harvest. It's painstaking,
mm-hmm.
and you must be willing to go the miles because mm-hmm. again, there's a proverb which hints on something that I'd want to talk about. It says, "He who pampers a servant will in the end have him as a son." Okay? And so...
The media team will help us.
Inheritance.
There we go. Proverbs 29. Yeah.
I love the media team.
Yes.
And so, first of all, when you're thinking scale, you must be thinking that your business can grow beyond you. Okay? And so I'm putting the premise here of discipleship and why discipleship is important. Because discipleship is the thing that allows you to multiply. Faithfulness is multiplication.
Mm.
If God gives you an idea, he needs it multiplied. Remember, fruitfulness,
yes.
dominion.
Yes.
So that should be the end goal of every business. And you can't be the one driving all those stages.
And Director Grace talked about it last.
Yes.
You can't be everywhere.
You can't be everywhere.
You're not omnipresent.
Yes.
Yes.
Even Jesus, who is,
yes.
didn't do that.
Exactly.
You understand? Even Jesus, who's omnipresent and omnipotent, saw the wisdom in giving, imparting his ability, his authority into his disciples so that he could see a scale. What started with 12 people and 72 to 120 to 3,000 to a billion to 2 billion and growing. That is discipleship. And your business takes the same journey. It must take the same journey. And so, again, discipleship is time's sake, and you must spend. Now, why I quote this scripture is because you must look at the people that are eventually, there has to be succession. And
succession
for there to
planning.
Be succession, there must be a successor. Now, a successor is someone who's going to take your business to the next level. Now, they have to be a son.
Yeah.
Inheritance is not given to servants. Inheritance is given to sons. And that's why a mistake we make as business people. We look at the people that we are leading as servants. And so when it comes time to leave the business to that servant, in your eyes they are servants, so they're not an heir.
Wow.
So you have to change your perspective to look at them as sons. Because when you look at them as sons, then inheritance becomes easy.
And
they also take ownership because it's theirs.
Yes.
They see their role. That's why he who pampers from childhood will in turn get them as a son. You must see them. You must convert the servant's
mindset. The mindset comes to mind.
Yes.
And indeed, anyone on your succession plan, anyone
they
working
must be
with
a son.
A son or daughter.
They must be a son.
Yes.
If they're your family,
well and good.
If they're not,
adopt
them. They must be, because they have to own this thing like you. And so you then take them through the discipleship journey. Because then that's the exact thing Jesus did.
So it starts with the mindset.
It starts
with the mindset to adopt and bring people close as family,
yes.
as sons and daughters.
Yes. And that's why Jewish businesses do well. Because everyone in the business is an owner, whether they're family or not. That's why Indian businesses do well, because everyone in the business is an owner. You understand? They take this oikos principle into business. And so that's where we, as business people, fail. And so the key that I realized is, you know, and also in recognizing what is happening at Worship Harvest, is that my business is my family.
Mm.
The people that are inheriting, the people that are becoming CEOs, are my spiritual children. So I must teach them the same way I teach all my other spiritual children and my natural children. And so we go through the square. That's the tool that we use from building a discipling culture. What does a square mean? You know the square has four sides. Just setting that foundation.
Yes.
Okay.
Pastor Noah, I'm thinking we might have you back next week.
Okay.
To get into the square. I think let's settle with the triangle.
Uh-huh.
Let's settle with this whole mindset thing and then have you back, because I'm looking at the time and I'm looking at how much justice you've done to the triangle and, you know, brought it to life in a whole other way.
Yeah.
And I'm also seeing comments and questions that we can attend to. And
Then
let's get into the square and other shapes next Sunday.
Pastor
Chris, I believe I have your permission. Please send me an affirmative.
You have the mic.
Yeah, I indeed. I have the mic. So please send me an affirmative. But Director Grace was asking about these sons. I think I saw it here. These sons who keep leaving the business. What to do with them?
Uh-huh.
What to do with them? Yes.
The beauty is that we have a statistic. There's nothing new under the sun. Even Jesus had people leaving him.
Right.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And he planned for it.
So we must plan for attrition. In any case, you're going to be getting some off the bus anyway.
And again, if you do discipleship well, even if they leave you, they'll prosper where they're going. Yeah. If there is
that's
honor.
That's important, yes.
If there is honor, and even if they leave you, they'll prosper where they're going. I'll tell you a very interesting story. I grew up in Kenya. And in my early childhood, there was a neighborhood supermarket called Nakuru Mattress. Okay?
Yeah.
And that's where I would get my school bags from. It was one small shop. Okay?
Wow.
Nakuru Mattress eventually became Nakumat. Nakuru Mattress.
Did you know?
I grew up in a town called Nakuru. So the CFO of Nakumat wanted to leave. It had now become Nakumat. He felt that he had contributed. He was getting old, and he wanted to leave, and he wanted to start a corner shop in his village in Naivasha. Okay? And so the owner of Nakumat said, no, please go here, and even gave him a Ntandikwa to start his business in Naivasha. And then a business, and he started a small supermarket, which eventually became Naivas.
Wow.
You understand? And so even if they leave you, they don't have, if they leave with honor, they'll do well.
Mm.
And so that discipleship journey, we must realize that, yes, if Jesus had that, if there was Lucifer in heaven, it's because some people, if there was Lucifer in heaven, then you're going to have people who want to pull you down or at least, at the worst case, abandon you, okay? But that should not stop you from the heart of discipleship. The heart being imparting your vision.
Yes.
And as Apostle taught the other time, is that you have a lot in you. The money is in you. The businesses are in you. You're the limit.
Mm.
In me are thousands of businesses. I honestly believe that.
Wow.
Yes. And wow. So the faster I disciple, the more I give them an opportunity to fruition. Otherwise, I'm not being faithful, because I'll go back to heaven with, you know, a certain number of businesses still in me, and God is like, boss, what's up? You are holding on too tightly. And so those are some of the things that we must realize, that discipleship, because it's life on life, it's messy. But the successes far outweigh the potential. And so we must be recognize that as business people. And then just also to mention something is that even the people that we celebrate now, the businesses that have successfully changed hands, it is through discipleship. Maybe they may not call it
discipleship.
But the person who's going to take over from Jeff Bezos is called Andy Jassy. He started out as Jeff Bezos' PA. And he's now leading. He became the CEO of Amazon Web Services. He's now going to become the CEO of Amazon. You understand? So it's not new people. Even Tim Cook and Steve Jobs, he started out together. They walked through this journey. So they don't just appear as CEOs. No, there's discipleship that's happening.
Indeed. I believe the recommended way, from a governance point of view, of course, external recruitments are indeed allowed.
Yes.
Or a part of various business journeys, but the most recommended, and I think sometimes companies are put to task when, say, a CEO exits and they have to recruit externally. The boards at the time are usually put to task around their succession planning.
Yes.
You know, like, what have you been doing all this time that you had the CEO?
Yes.
And what plans were made? So you find that lately, the modern thing is about succession planning.
Yeah.
How many years? 1-2 years to being ready to lead. 3-4.
Yeah.
And indeed, in that period, there's usually a traceability in terms of what the leaders in the succession plan need to be working on or improving.
Yes.
In order to be ready to lead. And in the meantime, they're being tested.
Yes.
With assignments and projects, because those potential leaders always need challenges. They need to be being experimenting and dipping their feet into this whole thing of leading.
Yes.
So the idea is not to look externally. You can. And it is not forbidden, but best practice now and the modern way and the encouraged way in keeping with discipleship is really to grow your in-house talent, grow your sons and daughters.
And just quickly, that's what we did. Again, just even looking through what Crypto Savannah is, I gathered these people and we went through discipleship, and it's hardcore.
And it's ongoing, I believe.
It's ongoing, yes. They read books, because I read books. This is the thing that hit me, it's that I impart me.
You model the way.
Yes, as in, it's what do I, what gives me, how did I get here? Because I was reading, I was part of HI. I was part of School of Practical Business. I've been all these discipleship groups with Apostle. And so that is what has made me to who I am now. And so if I want the leaders to be like me, they have to go through the same process.
For members of the audience and in the studio who might not know what HI is and what SOPB is, these are growth spaces, these are learning spaces here at Worship Harvest, and we encourage you to come and check them out. There's a Harvest Institute, there's a School of Practical Business.
Yes.
And Pastor Chris was talking about the Mike Breen course. I don't know, do you want to talk about it? Where all this wisdom is?
Yes.
If you can touch a bit of that as we wrap up.
Okay, so there's, again, Papa Mike takes the principles from building a discipling culture and then puts it into the context of business and say built for business. And so he takes the same shapes and then digs deeper into them on how these shapes can be applied into the business. Mm. And so there's a course that, you know, through our business garage team, we're going to start now taking businesses through that. And then same principles of discipleship, the things that are working when leading movements can also lead businesses to become very successful.
So you've heard that. Stay tuned to Worship Harvest. The Business Leaders Networks will be letting you know about this course based on Mike Breen's Building a Discipling Culture. I see that there was somebody asking Caroline Cunha. I believe that your question has been answered. Building a Discipling Culture by Mike Breen. It's available here at Worship Harvest Nalia for 25,000 shillings. So Pastor Noah, I'd like to thank you very much for your time this morning. We've never experienced the triangle in the way that you have from a business point of view. And thank you for accepting to be back next week.
Yeah.
Now, everybody that is online, for those of you that don't yet have a relationship with Christ, you have not yet been discipled into the body of Christ, you do not identify yourself as a son or a daughter in the kingdom of God. We cannot end this segment without giving you an opportunity to come into the kingdom of God and to be discipled as a child, as a son and daughter of God. So I'll lead you through a prayer just now, after which you will be welcomed into the kingdom of God. I'll invite you to say this prayer with me. Dear Lord, we thank you for this new day and for the gift of life. Thank you for the gift of salvation and your grace that abounds. I receive you in my heart as my Lord and Savior, and I repent of all sin and unrighteousness. Write my name in the book of life. Take my life and do something significant with it. Holy Spirit, I invite you to guide me and walk with me, and to indeed turn me into a son and daughter in the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. If you have made that decision and if you have said that prayer earnestly, you are now a son and daughter in the body of Christ, and I invite you to text or send a message to the number on the screen that is running at the bottom of the screen, which is +256 775 642 449. There'll be someone at the end of that line, either through text or call, who'll be on hand to guide you in how you plug into the Worship Harvest family and into the body of Christ and get you on your discipling journey, where you'll be given a discipler and you too can start to live a life of significance. Before we close, I'd like to remind you that tomorrow evening we have Be Your Own Boss. It is available on our Worship Harvest radio. Please tune in. And then we have the local Business Leaders Network chapters in every Worship Harvest location. Please look up your Business Leaders Network chapter leader. And this Saturday, the Business Leaders Network of Bugolobi met up with Pastor Chris. In your various chapters, you can arrange to meet Pastor Chris, or even resources like Pastor Noah, to get into various topics that you could delve into as a chapter, as business owners, as business leaders. Otherwise, thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you very much. You've been a wonderful audience here in the room and online. And we'll be back next weekend with Pastor Noah, who has very kindly agreed to come and continue this discussion with us on discipling within our businesses. We look forward to seeing you at 9 a.m. and at 11:30 at our various locations. You can pick from any one of our 85 locations now and at our various hosting centers. And of course, you're welcome to worship with us online. Have a lovely week. God bless you, and see you next weekend.
Thank you for for listening to this teaching. We hope that you've been blessed by the Worship Harvest Sermon Series. For more teachings and other resources, visit www.worshipharvest.org or call 0393-281-555. That is 0393-281-555.
We're taking territory. We're breaking.